Good morning and welcome to the roundtable for this Tuesday, the 27th of January. I'm Joe Donahue. In this hour, we'll start off with an open discussion of issues in the news and beyond. It's our roundtable panel. Joining me for the discussion, Alan Shartok, Times Union Associate Editor Mike Spain, and SUNY Albany Journalism Professor and Investigative Reporter Rosemary Armeo. Later in the program, we'll talk with journalist Stephen Brill about his New York Times bestseller, America's Bitter Pill, about the Affordable Health Care Act. We'll learn about the power of lentil beans and hear what is happening in Egypt 4 years after the Arab Spring. Plus, we'll also find out what anxious animals and how anxious animals can help us understand ourselves. The roundtable begins after news. I just realized we were doing the show without the microphones on. That's not right. Good morning. Welcome to our roundtable panel for this Tuesday morning. And depending on where you are, you're either buried under a foot of snow or you're disgusted that we didn't get nearly as much as we thought we were going to get, or you're delighted that we didn't get as much as you thought we were going to get.
Disappointed. It depends on what there's nothing. It's just now it's just a regular old icky January. Not historic or epic.
Wow. I agree with you, Rosemary, that if it's going to happen, then you want a record.
Big. I want it big.
No, you
yeah.
want a record. You want something that has never happened before.
I wanted dunes, you know. I wanted, like, mountains of snow. Yeah, and I look out and I could see the driveway, as Mike said.
But in the end, it's good. But I keep wondering how much, if Andrew Cuomo says, because it's dangerous, we have to close down the subways.
Yeah. That's aren't they all underground?
That was ridiculous. That was just ridiculous.
You make a great point, Mike, yes. Isn't that why we have I guess some of them go outside.
There are some still.
What I was surprised about is that come 7:30, 8 o'clock, when it was still... Yeah. But it was obvious that nothing was really going to come, then maybe you could open the city back up again.
Well, except they kept saying, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Yeah. I was watching one of the MSNBC guys this morning, and the guy was explaining that it was 50 miles further out into the ocean than they thought. But, he said, in his own defense, if it had been 50 miles to the west, we would have been in really bad shape if the pattern had moved. But, I say... But if a pig flew through your room, a pig would have flown through your room. You know, they got it wrong.
It's a fairly big but. I have to say, two things. One is that I know that it's very easy to pick on the meteorologists. And I know nationally that probably can be said for some of the hysteria, although we can get into, we can talk a little bit about.
Can and ought to be said.
The governor and the mayor of New York City.
Of course.
However, I have to say that from yesterday morning on, they were very unsure about the whole thing and kept on saying that over and over and over again.
Oh, I think you're right. I think they were fair. Paul Caiano yesterday morning on Channel 13 had four charts, different models.
Yes.
One model was 16 inches. Another model was... about 8 inches, but it had been 2 inches the night before. Another model was 16 inches, and then there was a really low model that was like 1 or 2 inches, and apparently that was the model.
Yeah, that was the model we got.
But that's how they do it. It's averages.
But there's no driving. I can't go home to Massachusetts even this morning.
Yeah, it's banned. $500 fine, right?
If $500 fine if they catch me. Well, so sneak over the line.
We'll have a bailout fund. We'll have to raise money to bail you out. In New York City, all the different stations this morning had just reporters out on the street and say, hardly see anybody out here, just a few people. I think it was the other reporters for the other networks.
Well, I was listening to some New York City radio on the way in, and they were saying that the only people, because they had to walk to work because there's no cabs, there's no subways, anything else. And they said the only two people that you see out in the streets are reporters. Holding cameras, looking for other people, and other radio people who are going to work, and that was pretty much it.
Okay, I want to know, can you bring back the milk and toilet paper? Can you get refunds? Don't need this.
No, but if you cancel a day.
I thought you were just getting Baileys.
If you just cancel a day of the economy, what does that cost?
Yeah.
Wall Street is open, though, I believe.
No, but I'm not talking about Wall Street. I'm talking about all the people who can't go to work today and whose buildings are closed down and everything else. Does that cost millions? Does it cost a billion?
Okay, let's trash the meteorologists. They did this.
No, see, I don't...
Well, no.
Or was it the overreacting political leaders who...
Let's do them.
The press release, or the press conference that I saw last night with Mayor de Blasio made it sound like... in fact, The Onion. Did anyone see The Onion this morning?
No.
They did. I just did a great, an amazing piece on it. But, you know, that maybe there was a little bit of, this is going to be the worst storm we'll ever see in the history of mankind.
Yeah, they did say that. They said that.
Yeah, yeah. And so I don't know. Does that come from the hype of the meteorologists, or does the media hype come from the politicians saying, oh, my God, we have to close everything?
Well, you know, Ted took some exception to our remarks. And he said, we are quick to be critical of overcaution. We are quick to forget Irene and Sandy.
We were ready for that. There was the same sort of hyperbole over Irene, too, and Sandy. That's just not true.
I remember in New York City, they were evacuating Lower Manhattan for Irene. So when Sandy came along a year later, people were ignoring it, and they should have evacuated.
Yeah. That's how they get you.
I mean, that's the whole problem. Yeah. That's the little boy who cried wolf.
But when you think about, I don't know, a lot of people have already made this this comment that, you know, if Bloomberg or if Giuliani were mayor, that the city would have been up and running, everything would have been going in a way. And I don't know if that's fair. The Onion says, New York City mayor, reconcile yourselves with your God, for all will perish in the tempest.
Yeah, it's pretty appropriate. However, it should be said that the warnings that were heeded in Boston were good, that people stayed off the streets, and it is a very dangerous situation up there. And Cape Cod sounds like it's really getting hammered.
Yeah, it's getting blasted. Well, you know, wasn't it Bloomberg who did sort of ignore a storm warning and then suffered great political harm because he left whole neighborhoods unplowed?
I think he had gone to Bermuda or something. Wasn't there a snow... Yeah. A couple of years
ago. It is hard to get this right, you know, to know when to listen and when it's
just And the Upper East Side was complaining that they weren't getting the attention that other parts of the city were getting. And
right.
Snow plows, et cetera. Yeah. It became factionalized.
So do we still have a snow emergency in the city, or has that been canceled?
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah. Schools are open in Albany and Schenectady.
Yeah.
Troy closed, but they're a little more east of where, you know, the line was, so they got a little more...
Was that a comment?
Now. Well, Jane wrote to us and said, stop laughing.
Okay.
About what?
Like, she said she listened yesterday, and we were having such a good time yesterday. We were all laughing. And then we're laughing today. So I want you people to have a bad time and stop laughing.
Okay. Is that an appropriate, you know, NPR demeanor, not to laugh but to talk very softly like this? Well, we can do that.
I guess we got in trouble for laughing yesterday. Okay.
That's right. And she said she's going to stop watching television, stop listening to us.
Yeah, okay. Well, she won't hear people laughing on television.
Laughter, there it is.
Nicely said, Mike. Did I introduce everybody? Rosemary Armeo is here, of course. University of Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter. Mike Spain, associate editor of the Times Union newspaper. And Alan Chartok, our very own, right here. We're all here for the panel. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. You can also comment on our webpage. 12715 is the panel. Just click on it and you can post your comment there.
I think I'm Charlie on the MTA. I can never return.
Never return to Massachusetts.
Because they haven't lifted my $500 fine.
We'll keep that up to date for you, Alan, and make sure that we know.
All right.
Yeah. So let's take a break. When we come back, we'll get into the other news of the day, and we'll take it all very, very seriously. And we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be back after the short break.
Support comes from Snow Farm, Williamsburg, Massachusetts, a New England craft program offering weekend and week-long workshops for adults and teens in a farm setting. Registration now open for 2015 classes, snowfarm.org. MPAC presenting an evening of dance choreographed for the screen, including the 2015 Dance Movies Commissions, Saturday at 7 p.m., mpac.rpi.edu. And Fort Hill Auto Body, Amherst, Massachusetts, locally owned and operated since 1997, providing auto body repair, detailing, painting, and glass replacement. A proud supporter of public radio. FortHillAutoBody.com.
We'll be right back. Good morning and welcome back to our roundtable panel. It is very nice to have you with us. Alan Chartok is here. Mike Spain and Rosemary Armeo, we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org.
And you're Joe Donahue. And right?
Yes.
I think he is.
Yeah, but I'm saying it because he introduces us. He's kind enough to, so I wanted to make
sure everybody
knew who he was.
Thank you.
And we're delighted to have you here.
Yeah, and then
don't laugh.
You're just mocking
and then
me.
A big shout out to Pat Cooney and his gang because they kept us on the air despite this massive changeover of our electrical system or something here. Yes. Yesterday.
I'm so glad you said that because I thought for a minute maybe you understood. I have no idea, but it sounds good, doesn't it?
It's a massive changeover. And there were people, you have no idea how many people were here last night, all night long.
Wow.
The people from the gig computer services, the people from, you know, the electrical company to do all of this work. It was amazing.
And we didn't miss a step. That was a great thing.
No.
That's really cool. All right.
You know how they did it?
How?
They ran an extension cord from one room to the other.
They plugged in down at Ichiban, and then
I kid you not,
they kept us running for a good hour and a half. That's great. All right, let's talk about other issues. Here's one that we can do in the 6 minutes that we have. The a drone, went down on the White House. I guess is the best way to say it. It's too small for radar to detect. Certainly rattled the White House. A White House radar system designed to detect flying objects like planes, missiles, and large drones failed to pick up a small drone that crashed into a tree on the South Lawn Monday morning, according to law enforcement officials. The crash raised questions about whether the Secret Service could bring down a similar object if it endangered the president. The drone, which was about 2 feet in diameter, which still, to me, is a fairly big, you know, I don't know. That's
about this.
Yeah. Is that? That's 1 foot, right?
Well, it depends whose foot. Yeah.
No, I'm a size 16, so if you do that, but that's 32.
I'm a size
they probably
seven.
Could shoot you down.
I'm a size 7.5.
Right.
Okay, we should not be laughing at this. This is another invasion that was of the White House property that was not handled. Time for another new Secret Service agent. Will someone get it right? The guy who did it, you were looking this up,
right?
A government employee, right?
The best line in the story that is in the New York Times was, officials did not explain why the man, who does not work at the White House and who has not been charged with a crime, was flying a drone at 3 a.m.
It seems maybe that would be the first question you'd ask, right? What the hell are you doing?
Yes.
Well, yes, and some guys have it for drones and some guys have it for other things. But the fact of the matter is, all kidding aside, and Rosemary's absolutely right, we have to be deadly serious about this, is that what's terrible about this is if this guy got away with it, and even if he gets his knuckles wrapped for having done it,
he's proved it can be done.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, it was an accident that it went off course and went into a tree on the White House property, but it demonstrates the capacity of these drones. Now, this guy was probably just a drone geek. There's a lot of drone geeks.
Yes, people. But on the other hand, Mike, we're sending drones to kill people.
Sure.
And in their convoluted minds, would it not be appropriate to do the same thing to us?
Here's the line from because what is, you know, I guess this is my problem is, and I don't want to get Rosemary I don't want to get Rosemary ticked off, but think of what you can't bring on an airplane.
Can you bring a drone on an airplane?
But you got to wonder. So it had now also we should note that it had 3 pounds of fake explosives on it. So you wonder what was up with that, right?
Gosh.
Anyway, that was
it. Is that right? I didn't know that.
That's wild.
This is the incident comes just day after the Department of Homeland Security. No, you're right.
Yeah, it didn't have it on the drone.
Another one that they used to demonstrate
on the display.
The potential.
I apologize. Yeah. Okay, my apologies. So the drone was too small and flying too low to be detected by radar, adding that because of its size, it could easily have been confused for a large bird.
Jeez.
Well,
drone bird.
I mean, the irony here is the as you were referring to, Alan, the technology that the U.S. has honed and developed and now made, you know, available to everybody by having its own drones for military use, it can now backfire on people because now anybody can buy a drone and do dastardly things with it.
Okay, let me put this in perspective. We have the Secret Service charged with protecting the leader of the free world. The country itself sends drones to kill other people. No one thought up to now about, wow, what if they sent a drone here? We should have this in our emergency plan. It was never considered.
I think you make a point.
You make a good point.
Absolutely. By the way, if you want to buy one, $479.
God, that's on this model. That's affordable.
Well, it's almost like flying a kite in the old days.
Yeah.
And I wonder about kites.
Well, assuming they don't have the capability of holding pounds of explosives.
Yeah.
Well, if people were playing tennis in the road outside the White House, sometimes the tennis balls might go over into the White House lawn. So maybe they need some of those big tennis,
A net. The whole thing needs a big net around the White House.
Well, a net
wouldn't
have stopped the drone.
Well, might have. You know, could have been. If it was right over the top.
But we've had this conversation, again, seriously, man, I think we've had this conversation on this program before about what the FAA is going to do or can do as to keeping people from flying these things around for whatever purpose it happens to be.
Yeah, you think about it, Joe. I mean, let's assume the worst had happened and something terrible had happened.
Yeah.
And the drone had gone into the White House or with the president there, without the president there, as in this case. You can be sure that there would be legislation the following day on no drones. So why do we have to wait until that moment?
Well, and also to Rosemary's point of having land in the lawn with the leader of the free world in the House, but anywhere it seems to me to be of a concern that you can buy something, as you say, affordable for many people to be able to buy it and to do whatever.
Put another way, how can we have licenses for driving a car?
Or cutting hair.
Well, this has a commercial application that a lot of businessmen like Jeff Bezos of Amazon are interested in. I think it's a really interesting technology. I've actually been reading about it for a few years now, and there have been studies on it, but we don't seem any closer to figuring out what we have to do to protect people and protect our airspace while using a new technology. It's. I thought this was a really scary story.
Yeah,
absolutely. We're going to take a break. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We will be back and talk about many other issues. We enjoy your letters. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be back after this short break.
Support comes from World Affairs Council of the Mid-Hudson Valley. Dr. Nimi Goranathan presents Understanding the Female Fighter, Women in ISIS, February 4th, 7 p.m. at Vassar College. HVWorldAffairsCouncil.org. Northshire Bookstore, Manchester, Vermont, Saratoga Springs, New York, Christopher Scotton presenting Secret Wisdom of the Earth, Sunday, 4 p.m., northshire.com. And Hudson Valley Wine Merchants, Hudson, New York, celebrating 10 years of wine and food in the Hudson Valley. Raise your glass, hudsonwinemerchants.com.
BBC News with Justine Green. Survivors of the Nazi death camp at Auschwitz in Poland have joined world leaders to mark the 70th anniversary of its liberation by Soviet troops. Former inmates laid wreaths at the site where more than 1 million people, mainly Jews, were murdered. Among those at the Auschwitz commemorations are the French and German presidents. But the Russian President Vladimir Putin is not attending. His absence comes a week after the Kremlin said Poland was engaging in what it called anti-Russian hysteria, after the Polish foreign minister credited Ukrainian soldiers rather than the Soviet Red Army with liberating Auschwitz. President Obama has arrived in Saudi Arabia with a high-level delegation to pay his respects following the death of King Abdullah. He also hopes to build ties with the new monarch, King Salman. Gunmen have stormed a top hotel in the Libyan capital Tripoli after setting off a car bomb outside. Some security sources say the gunmen have detonated their explosives, blowing themselves up. At least 3 people, including security guards, are reported to have been killed. A public inquiry has opened in Britain into the murder in London of a former Russian KGB agent, Alexander Litvinenko. The inquiry chairman said sensitive evidence strongly pointed to the culpability of the Russian state in the killing in 2006. Moscow has consistently denied involvement. The army in Burundi has denied allegations that its soldiers summarily executed a group of unarmed rebels earlier this month. Villagers in Cibitoke province have told the BBC they witnessed government troops shoot dead at least 17 rebel fighters who had laid down their weapons. And large parts of the northeastern United States are being battered by blizzards and near-hurricane-force winds as winter storm Juno makes its way north. Blizzard warnings are still in place for Boston, which, along with Connecticut, saw snowfall of 60 centimetres. BBC News.
Support comes from Elms College, Chicopee, Massachusetts, working to educate students with their core values of faith, community, justice, and excellence. Elms.edu. Allardyce Ace Building Supply, providing lumber and building supplies for commercial and home needs with locations in Malta, Saratoga Springs, and Milton, New York. Allardyce.com. And Center for Better Hearing, Glens Falls, New York, Dr. Susan Boja and Kara Bador, providing comprehensive hearing and hearing aid services. HearingBest.com.
That's menacing drone music, isn't it?
Yeah, that was very appropriate.
Yeah, very good. Good morning. Welcome back to our roundtable panel. Very nice to have you with us. We are here on this Tuesday morning. We'll keep you updated on the weather. Obviously, some places got spared. Other places still very scary where they got hit very hard. So we'll keep you up to date on that throughout the day. Also, we want to invite you to join our conversation roundtable at WAMC.org. And the two topics we've talked about so far, drones and weather, and we have, we have letters on both.
Oh, boy, do we have letters. We heard from Benny. While it seems that the warnings were overkill, if officials had not closed roads and declared a state of emergency, many people would have been outside and placed themselves and rescue personnel at risk. It costs more to all if there is an increase in car accidents, injuries, death, frostbite, hypothermia. Okay, so that's that. I had a letter yesterday or 2 days ago about that I abbreviate the letters that are too long and that I have no right to do that. Yes, I do, and I'm announcing it right now. I will do it. You write too long? That's what happens. And Brian says, I have flown radio-controlled model planes for 62 years. FCC used to make rules because of the airwaves used. Is there a difference between a model plane and a drone? And that's from Brian. And Robert says, how hard would it be to aim an armed drone at the president's car in a motorcade or to use a hovering drone to peek into White House windows or any of our windows for that matter? We are all Yemeni now. And let's see here. Julia says, unfortunately, there is very little material on those small flying platforms that will reflect conventional radar signals. It would take a very sophisticated radar to detect and track them. But by the way, when we were up against the Germans in World War II, in the Second World War, we kept making improvements in our radar. I mean, we did what we had to do. You remember that? None of you do, but I do.
I think we probably have the technology. It's just that because I would assume it is a concern that because birds and other things that do fly naturally would set off the radar, but is that bad? to be better safe than sorry.
And a bird could attack the president walking in the Rose Garden.
There you go.
And Margaret says, ex-presidents get better protection than the man in office. The drone situation at the White House seems similar to The Adventures of Superman being shown on Emmy TV with George Reeves. I like that show.
Oh, I love that show.
Yeah, I love that show.
So good.
Yeah. And James says, why is someone flying a drone so close to the White House that it, quote, flew off course into the trees? And Matt Mann says, it was a piece of delivery. Wish to swap and return with that W.H. Honey Ale six-pack.
Oh, my house ale.
And Susan says, keep laughing. Good God, just because one grumpy soul is opposed to your laughter may not be representative of your audience. I, for one, adore your laughter and find it very refreshing. Love the show.
Now I don't know whether to laugh or cry.
Well, we heard from that person. I didn't read the second letter from her, who said that she was going to go watch TV.
Oh,
so she's still watching. She's still listening.
Okay.
Hasn't made that switch yet.
All right.
Okay. And Ernest says, obviously the storm had the wind taken out of it by the same terrible rodent that attacked the Patriots' storage facilities.
That's from, very clever.
And that's from Richard Strauss, Deflator Mouse.
I like it.
And Tom says, what was that guy doing flying his drone at 3 a.m.?
I'd like to know that.
Good question.
And Judy says, you know, I love you guys, but I think you're coming down on the weather forecast of the governors and the mayors. This is a bit much. If the storm had been a catastrophe.
If it had been
a catastrophe involving injuries and lost lives, wouldn't you be the first people to condemn the same people for not giving us enough warning? Weather is the only thing left that we humans can't control. Enjoy it.
Fair, easy
for me to say. I'm writing from Key Largo.
It's now discounted.
you've lost your credibility there, Judy.
And Irene says, should the news devote as much time to the corruption in New York State? It costs us millions and millions. The New York State League of Women Voters wants to conduct hearings on term limits. Well, someday I'll tell you, I think that the League of Women Voters, which has been a wonderful organization, have made some serious mistakes lately when they support some of the, it's a technical term, verschlugene, things that the governor has been proposing to, quote, clean things up. So, but we'll talk about that some other time, right? Dear Roundtable, says David, Alan likes to talk about his different jobs or hats he likes to wear. Well, now he can add blockade runner of Massachusetts closed roads to the list. And our wonderful friend Tino used to be on the Legislative Gazette. Please keep laughing. Better safe than sorry. Mother Nature is unpredictable. Cuomo and de Blasio did the right thing. And Rich says, people drove crazier than usual yesterday morning in anticipation. Even with lesser storms, the amount of accidents in the Hudson Valley over the past month was staggering. People and businesses must close until roads are clear. Even a fire truck was destroyed due to sliding and crashing on black ice. And Don Steiner, always there with his wit. What if political scientists, I think that's a shot, what if political scientists were held accountable for their predictions? Tom says, no snow yet here in Amsterdam, knock on wood, and like that. And then that's it.
All right, that's it. We thank you very much for your letters, and we welcome them, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. Let us go to, I guess it's the big story, isn't it? And certainly the big story on the front page of most state newspapers, including the Times Union, and that is the Sheldon Silver, let us say now, situation. The
situation.
Right. I believe the word that the Times Union uses, right, Mike, is conundrum.
Conundrum at the Capitol. Yeah, our Capitol Bureau reporters, led by our state editor, Casey Seiler, are using a term a lot of others are using, and that's that the leadership of the assembly is hanging in the balance.
Well, it's very interesting, Mike, mm-hmm. because I've been reading this morning that Keith Wright, the assemblyman, mm-hmm. is now calling for the speaker.
Oh, okay.
To resign. I think that's correct. Here's the point. Keith Wright, I believe, is an ally of the governor.
Oh, yeah. He's a deputy state Democratic chairman, isn't he?
I think he was the state Democratic chairman. But let's assume for a second that, that he gets to be the speaker. Then Andrew ends up with all the marbles, if you think about it.
Well, Andrew's in a good spot anyway because Silver had so much power, and that appears to be on its way out. So he is going to have more power, whoever is in there, even if it isn't right. Before we move on to who's jockeying for his position, can we just say one word how nice it is that Democrats did not do that that little toadying, wonderful, or whatever you say, supine position.
Well, they tried
Sidney
it.
Sheldon.
They
no, they actually, the stories
no,
that
no,
I read.
In the very beginning, they tried it.
Yeah,
they
well,
said,
the morning,
the
morning
days
of
the
after, arrest.
They were yeah. very
yeah.
cohesive.
They were all behind it.
And then it
yeah.
began to fall apart over the weekend.
Well, wherever they found yeah. that backbone, I applaud it. Thank you very much. They went in and said, no, you can't be the speaker anymore.
And
that's great.
And they found it from their constituents. If you think about it, they're getting a lot of mail. We're getting a lot of mail about
sure.
how disgraceful this thing is. So that's
where does that leave
the,
us?
Even on the show, we took it as almost a given that if the speaker wanted to stay, in name only, pulling strings from behind, we talked about a lot of things, he would do it. It would happen.
Yeah.
And
well,
that apparently seems not to be the case now. So we have advanced.
The plan to put five senior members of the assembly in power.
It's interesting.
Where
apart.
Many
yeah.
people believe exactly right. what you said, where Speaker Silver would be in the background kind of dictating the moves. That plan fell apart. They were in their conference for 5 hours yesterday and came out without a real decision. But what's they're going back in today? What's
so
no, but Andrew, but hold, just 1 second.
Yeah.
Andrew said very specifically, got up yesterday.
I can't deal with a committee.
I yeah. can't yeah. deal with a committee. Meantime, think about this. Preet Bharara, the fighting U.S. attorney, gets up there and he says, three men in a room are what leads to this corruptive situation. So now you get Andrew saying the only that this is the that I can't deal with in any other way besides with the three men. So something's up between Andrew. We know there's some antipathy here, and Preet Bharara, the fighting U.S. attorney.
Well, okay. We can turn this into something about what this means for the government. I think that's really fair. But for right now, I just am very happy to see that people who said there's corruption involved, we don't want anything to do with it, clean it out, have gotten some sort of force on the Hill.
Be careful, Rosemary, of what you wish for. Because inevitably, when when one thing changes and we go too quickly to another, the unintended consequences can be severe. That's what I'm saying.
We've had how
well,
many
this
decades
may,
of Sid,
yeah.
of Silver now? I mean, how many
decades? 2 decades
time.
At least.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
and he's, I mean, even again on this show, I was told, oh, no, you know, he's innocent until proven guilty. He's got to be in there.
Oh,
no,
I told you that.
People are saying, enough. This is even the look of this we don't like. Get somebody else in there. And now it might happen.
I'm
encouraged.
I'm sorry. I don't want to revisit this innocent until proven guilty
right.
thing. But for all those people who were innocent, at some point by an overzealous,
guilty.
That's right,
or
were innocent yeah. and attacked by an overzealous prosecutor. Don't be so quick to throw away innocent until proven guilty, Rosemary.
I think he is innocent until proven guilty, but he doesn't. I don't want him running the state government.
Fair enough.
Under a cloud.
Fair enough.
Well, today the Democrats are going to reconvene in an effort to try to iron out who will be their leadership in the coming legislative session.
To de-conundrum their position.
Yes, exactly. Casey Seiler compares this to back in 2009 when the Senate had the coup and the Democrats had a thin control, and then the Republicans formed a coalition with a couple of insurgent Democrats and took over the power, and it paralyzed the Senate chamber and the whole operation for several weeks. And I think the Democrats have that in mind, and they want to come out united. And it'll be interesting to see who they end up with as a leader at the end of the day.
I kept on reading Casey's piece about this, about Silver and his staff and people around him, calling, you know, and trying to figure out how to, you know, keep him in power and so forth. And I just I kept on thinking to myself, this, I would be a horrible politician. I would be a horrible speaker, because I would just, whether I was guilty or not, I would be so embarrassed I wouldn't even be able to walk into work knowing that people felt that, you know, that those charges were, like, I don't understand that quite, of just a natural emotion of just saying, yeah, okay. I'm sort of with you, Rosemary, on that, of like, yeah, maybe it's time to just step back and wait till, let me clear my name.
It takes enormous self-confidence to operate when you're under such pressure.
Wow.
I guess that's one way of putting it.
All right. Anything else in this?
No.
It'll be an interesting day at the Capitol for sure.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No. But I'm interested in what's going to happen here. But I think we should all be sophisticated enough to know that there are forces at work here which we may not be thinking about. And one of them is that if Andrew Cuomo gets his own man to be the speaker, Wow. Think about the power that an already powerful man would have.
Then we will have a budget on time, most likely.
So it's basically two men in a row. Just there's three, but two agree
with it. Well, it's interesting, but if you think about it, that would make the third man much more powerful because he would have the veto. And that would be, you know, the Republican, the head of the Republican conference.
Yeah, Dean Skelos is probably watching this more closely than anybody.
Oh, yeah.
Let's take a break. We'll come back and we will finish up. We'll talk about some more stories. We will get a Lockbox update and we will also remind you that you can help out on the Lockbox Challenge, WAMC.org. We'll be back after this short break.
Support comes from Jenkinstown Motors, New Paltz, a repair shop for domestic and foreign autos and specializing in Japanese cars for over 30 years. JenkinstownMotors.com. Barry Price Architecture, since 1996, specializing in buildings that integrate modernism and sustainability with regional materials and aesthetics. BarryPriceArchitecture.com. And the Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery at Skidmore College, presenting a lecture on the life and career of Nicholas Krushnick. February 7th at 5 p.m., skidmore.edu/tang.
Just looking at the picture here in the Times Union of the arrival and departure board at the airport, and it just says cancel, 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 cancel. So if there's no weather anywhere, where are the planes?
Underground in the subway.
Is that where they are? You gotta wonder where they are.
They're all in Arizona.
They stay at the hubs outside of the outside of where the snow is expected.
Where the elephants go to die.
So they're all in Charlotte.
They're all in Charlotte, yeah. And you know, maybe Baltimore.
There you go. Yeah.
Baltimore crab cakes.
Mm. All right, let's go to. Did you say letters? Yes.
Alan, we have a lot of letters.
All right,
I don't know.
Great. I thought we went through most of them. Go ahead.
Oh no, guilty until proven innocent. Rosemary, are you going to feel that way when the Republican Congress files articles of impeachment against Obama? You know,
feel what way that he should, well, that Obama should get out while the Republicans impeach him.
Yeah. It's a good point. I thought. Well,
of course you did, because it's your point of view.
Yeah, it is.
I think it's stupid. It has nothing to do with it. This
now,
is federal.
We don't have
charge.
To start saying stupid. Stupid is a, you know.
Oh yeah, you
stupid
don't like
is a stupid.
Okay. Does.
That's right. Stupid
that's
is a
benighted
does.
Point of view.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Okay. And Patsy says, no, I can't read it. It's one of those things. See, one of those things where they – remember, Joe, from yesterday where the crunch is –
All right. Do you want me to read it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. First of all, Patsy says, I hope Alan gets home. Take care. I can only add my thoughts, which are that I'm grateful that meteorologists, government, and school leaders took the weather model seriously. We in upstate New York may have been lucky this time, but better safe than sorry, or dead or injured. I now have extra eggs and milk and bread. No harm done.
Well, but wait, what happens when the expiration date runs out?
Then you make
fast.
The souffle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Sean says, most of these drones are just consumer toys, incapable of carrying a big enough payload to do any damage. And Julia says, Alan and Joe, yes, the technology does exist to detect and track these models, but it's substantially more complex than conventional radar systems, especially on the signal processing end of the system.
I think the White House can afford it.
Okay. Jack says, I don't mind you laughing, but please, I love this, stop. Can anybody guess? I'll give you a dollar if you can guess. But please stop. Droning on and on.
Cute.
Okay. And Henry says, Governor Cuomo referenced in his news conference today that by not closing the thruway in Buffalo during the huge storm a few weeks ago led to huge traffic problems and cars stuck for many hours. Does anyone remember how the Long Island Expressway looked 2 years ago when their drivers left their car and tried to walk closer to home? Katrina changed the way politicians handle these situations, maybe. But I'm just thinking about the Long Island Expressway on every day. As you know, it's been entitled the world's longest parking lot. Mm-hmm. Okay, so
Here we go.
Okay. Anthony says, hello, all. I'm home today from work because of the ridiculous snowstorm, and I'm listening to your show, which I enjoy always. But I'm getting a kick listening to your conversation regarding not allowing people to buy drones because of the possible harm they can achieve with them. We allow people to buy guns, which we know can kill. Once again, there are pros and cons to
everything. All right. We have guns. Do we want drones, too?
Or... We know what the NRA says about why we should have guns in our hips so that we can kill people if they attack
us. Maybe there'll be an ND.
And the drone rationale is? Okay, all right. That's good.
Drones don't kill people. Bad pilots do, I guess.
Lake Cuddle says, you'd be surprised how easily a helicopter can be taken away. It's from Mike. And Heather, I'm one of those individuals disappointed we didn't get the snow that was predicted. I have to respectfully disagree with Mike Spain, or whoever mentioned it, that the weathermen were unsure of the severity of the storm yesterday. Maybe tracking systems had them unsure, but every weatherman I listened to yesterday, including those on WMC, sounded very sure when they were speaking to the public. And what did Benny say? I don't know. What did Benny say? Well, it seems that the warnings were overkill. If officials had not closed roads, I think we did that one. Yeah, I think we did it. Okay, so I'm not doing it again.
But it is important to recognize that while Albany and Schenectady may not have gotten, and Clifton Park may not have gotten any snow to speak of, a lot of areas did, and the warnings were completely legitimate, and it probably did save a lot of suffering and maybe some lives by people heeding the warning.
Really? Historic blizzard like you've never seen before?
Boston, Providence, Cape Cod.
They didn't say that. The report showed that big swath of storm across the whole. Our section was right there, Mike. It didn't. No, I think the reporting was overblown.
Well, John says, you think I'm stupid, Rosemary? Is that what you think? Who cares what you think?
My mother tells me that all the time. But, I don't think you're stupid, John, and Alan is right not to let us use that word. I think your point of view is.
But you weren't talking about him.
Incorrect.
You were talking about me. You're calling me stupid.
I can't.
That's
do
different
that.
Than calling John stupid.
No. I shouldn't call anyone stupid, but I do think it's silly to compare a federal charge with an impeachment, which is a completely political process. So,
all right. Are we good?
No, there's another one from Bowie who says, drones with guns? Question mark.
Yeah, that's what we're worried about, right?
And all. Okay, that's enough for now.
All right. Let's see. We probably get time for one more story before we get our lockbox update in just a moment. And we will move on to, let's see, what story? Anything on anybody's mind? Anybody?
Well, Greece! We have to talk about Greece.
Greece is in a lot of turmoil because of the election.
That's right. We got a mail from one person who said...
got a lot of mail. All right, one guy.
Okay, one guy who said, how come you're not talking about Greece? Well, A, we did, and B, it's been all over NPR news, and it's been all over. So we've done it again.
You have a population that was so upset by what's been happening that they put into office people who no one else thought would ever get into office.
Yes.
They're wild, wild left. I, in classes, could not think of anything in the United States to compare them to. And so now these wild people have to consort with the European Union leaders, with Andrea Merkel and the rest.
Well, not so.
And will they do it?
Not so fast. When we were in Thessaloniki last year, Roselle and I, there were people in the streets banging and banging and banging on their, drums and pots and pans and we spent some time with a wonderful couple who were both college professors. The one had his pension cut in half.
Yeah.
Just cut in half.
Greece is broke, and they borrowed money from the European Union, and those lenders want their money back. And to do that, because it's so extreme, Greece has had to do things like, yes, cut pensions. Also things like stop tax evasion, which was like one of the highest rates in Europe. And now people are saying, oh, we can't live like this. We want to go back to the old ways. And the European Union is upset by that, as we would. They want to say, the new government wants to say, oh, that debt, we'll give you maybe half
but
of
if
it
they
back.
Give the European Union gives into Greece, then who's next?
Exactly.
Ireland,
Spain, Ireland are also also in trouble. So this is a crisis for the European Union.
Well, the mob has a way of collecting from people, too, who don't pay the VIG.
They're going to break the knees?
Yes, there's an analogy there, yes.
Give us money or we bomb the Parthenon.
Well, I'm not nearly as worried about the EU and its being paid as you are.
So we'll and then tomorrow, can we promise? Let's talk about the Koch brothers stories.
Yeah,
the story about their $900 million is their budget
it's
for
obscene.
The 2016 election.
It is obscene. So. Money is controlling our election,
and it's legal according to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, we will. We'll talk about that in detail tomorrow. In the meantime, let's get an update on the lockbox as $900 million is being collected for the 2016 election. We're trying to get far less than that for our fund drive. How are we doing, Megan Finnegan?
Oh my God, we are going gangbusters. We actually had a huge amount of people pledging online last night. I think they must have been waiting around for the snow. And we are up to $419,421.
So in order to get that $10,000, let there be no mistake, from Berkshire Bank, what we have to do is collect about $80,000 between now and Monday morning. That's not going to be easy, folks. We're going to need everybody doing something, but we are so close. And now your money counts for so much more, and it's all part of being part of a big community. We love you and we trust you.
So like $12,000-$13,000 a day, and we got it, right?
I know. I know. We got 6 days to go. We could be halfway there by the time it starts.
That's impressive.
Can you still get that water bottle if you do it online?
Good point, Mike. You can. And you can get your name on it, too.
Or anyone else's.
Yeah, to say Mike.
Mike.
About how many characters?
15 characters.
15 characters.
Yep.
You could say Mike and Anne.
No, Debbie.
I don't want to start any rumors.
Debbie's
you better
very upset
find
about
somebody
Anne.
With
I don't know who Anne is, but
you
find, my mug will say
you better find first. Somebody with a shorter name, is
right.
My point.
Right.
Any initials?
You can put initials, I mean, up to 15 characters, whatever you want. We will have printed on that
and it's
mug.
A, by the way, it's a beauty.
It is.
It looks really great.
Got this wonderful thing on
water
top.
Water.
You don't. It. Well, you won't have to, it won't spill.
It won't spell.
And it's $125.
$125 to get the personalized water bottle. It's white. It's stainless steel, 22 ounces, fits in any cup holder, lovely straw inside,
and
WAMC
this is a,
logo.
And this is a special for the lockbox,
right.
Folks.
Yep.
That's great. All right. So do that. WAMC.org, WAMC.org. It's very exciting. That's a lot of money. Thank you very much
it
for
is,
telling us. We look
is.
Forward
yeah.
to tomorrow's update. That's
good
awesome.
Good job.
We'll be updating you and reminding you throughout the day as we hit the beginning of the fund drive on Monday morning at 6 o'clock. Megan Finnegan, thank you very much. Rosemary Mayo, we'll see you tomorrow. Mike Spain, thank you very much for coming in such horrible conditions. And Alan, I don't mean the weather, by the way. And thank you very much.
Did he ever return? No, he never returned. Spain is still unlearned.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.